Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside, hanging out with you here on a Monday morning. Lot to get to from a jam-packed weekend, so let's waste no time getting to our 7-7 top headline, starting in the NBA, where round one came to a conclusion with the LA Clippers finishing off the Dallas Mavericks in seven games. Finally, a home team getting a victory. Kawhi Leonard finishing just one assist shy of a triple-double. Luka Doncic is 46 points, not enough, as he was excellent in this series. But it is the Clippers, Donnie, that will be moving on to face off against the Utah Jazz.
You know, also taking a look at this series as well with the moving on of the Clippers here, would have been very interesting if that Game 7 victory did not go to the Clippers and went to the Mavericks, and where that would send the Clippers off into the offseason with their head coach, with maybe a GM, with, you know, is Kawhi going to stay? Is he already off to Miami or off to another place out here? So them getting to the second round may not seem monumental before entering into the playoffs because we all expected it, but boy, changes were probably on deck here, Kevin. Good win by the Clippers. Yeah. They move on. We'll see if that holds up in the second round as well.
It's a good – I wonder if we'll look back on this. The Clippers, a win away from blowing up the franchise to possibly going to the finals. That would be absolutely an interesting turn of events. How about also in yesterday's NBA action, the Atlanta Hawks – taking game one off of the 76ers, they came out guns a-blazing. Joel Embiid played. The Sixers started to figure some things out, but a little too late, Donnie, as they end up dropping game one at home. Final score 128-124.
There's good and bad to take away. The bad, the way the Sixers played in the first half. The good, the way they came back and Joel Embiid. I don't want to say healthy because obviously if you have a slight meniscus tear, you're never technically going to be healthy, but it looked like it didn't impact him all that much, scoring close to 40 points, an absolute must-win scenario. Yes, it feels like a must-win scenario for the Sixers outside of, you know, the Dallas Mavericks and the Clippers series where everybody won on their home court. That's going to be a tough one to hold. I look for the Sixers to regain dominance back in the series. 1-1 head into Atlanta. This is fun. It's NBA action. It's what we wanted here. We waited a long time during the season, Kevin, to get some really good series. It's fun to have Trey as a villain in Philadelphia and also New York. Sign me up.
Trey and the star power is continuing to rise. That is undeniable. One more piece of NBA news in our top headlines here. With a Saturday game between the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks, the Nets take a 1-0 series lead. They had to do it without James Harden. Played 1 minute before aggravating a hamstring injury that's been with him throughout this season. Already ruled out for game two, which will be taking place tonight. So some good, a 1-0 series lead for Brooklyn, but some bad. They might be without Harden for the foreseeable future, Donnie.
It looks like it's going to be long-term as well because this is a similar injury to what he had in the regular season. He didn't miss one or two or three games. He missed an entire chunk of games, and now you're in the playoffs, which also, the hard part about it, Kevin, getting your conditioning back. let's just say he heals up in two and a half weeks, he's not going to be basketball ready at that point, because you can't be basketball ready with a hamstring injury and get your normal workouts in. Great win, though, for the Nets, because he didn't get injured, Kevin, late in the fourth quarter when they were up 15.
Right.
He got injured in the first 40 seconds. Good win by Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. No, they won the game without James Harden, period. No, absolutely. Like, there's no other way to look at that. It was a very good win. I'm very excited to talk about game two. Let's welcome the radio audience into the fold here. Thank you for listening to us on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 204, The Early Line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside going through our 7-7 top headlines. Turning our attention out to the NFL. Julio Jones finds a new home after the Atlanta Falcons send him to the Tennessee Titans. The second round pick, a fourth round pick going to Atlanta, a sixth round pick, and of course the main attraction here, Julio Jones on their way over to Tennessee.
Good move by the Tennessee Titans. Fans should be happy. Did the team improve? Absolutely. Are they on their way to a Super Bowl? Time will tell at that point here, but I think it makes a lot of sense for both parties here. Atlanta needed the salary dump. They found a willing partner, got around a second-round pick. Julio was happy to move forward. It wasn't one of those hostage situations where you're going to trade me to Tennessee. I don't want to go there. I want to go to the Patriots, and you get into that whole rigmarole, yeah. But a nice move by both parties here. We'll see how it does play out for the future, but a good move by the Tennessee Titans for me, Kevin.
Yeah, absolutely. How about in the world of golf? Some unfortunate news from the Memorial Tournament, as John Rahm, the pre-tournament favorite, had a six-stroke lead through three rounds of play, found out he tested positive with COVID, and forced to withdraw. Patrick Cantlay ends up winning a playoff against Colin Morikawa to win at the Memorial, but John Rahm was about a minus 400 favorite live in the FanDuel Sportsbook. This was his tournament, and unfortunately, Donnie, he wasn't able to see it through.
No, certainly. A six-stroke lead, that's got to be the worst-case scenario. This wasn't, I'm going to be fighting to make the cut, or this is the first day of the tournament, and you know I'm going to be sent home and worry about my health issues, because you do get upset when you get that information, because number one, you're in the lead of a golf tournament, but number two, nobody wants to contact COVID because you don't know what that's going to bring for the future. Asymptomatic, which is the best part of this whole thing. Hopefully he's healthy, can continue, and then be playing in the U.S. Open in a week and a half here, Kevin.
Yeah, absolutely. How about in the world of tennis? Serena Williams is eliminated from the women's side of the French Open, leaving now Swiatek a minus 125 favorite, with Badosa and Coco Gauff coming as the second and third choices on that board. Novak Djokovic in action right now. The French Open continuing to deliver some top headlines, Donnie.
Certainly, and I have a big rooting interest here in Rafael Nadal, so we're rooting for Rafa down the stretch with interesting doings on the women's side. We'll see how it folds up. We'll know fairly soon, Kevin, who the champion of both the men's
Absolutely.
And the women's will be.
Final headline there. Again, you got to just bring it up. Jacob DeGrom, the dominance is unbelievable. He's got a 0.62 ERA. I think he's batting like 400. Might really just be MVP as a pitcher. We'll talk to the baseball on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're right back here on the early line. Want to break into suit. Some of the Major League Baseball action that we weren't able to discuss in hour number one. And these series involving the three teams in the NL West, they're continuing to provide us big series. Some really interesting stuff. And we can just go piece by piece here. I want to start with the Padres and their series against the New York Mets, though. Because, Donnie, even a split for the Mets here. I'm becoming more and more of a believer in this team to win, you know, the NL East. It feels like they're going to do that without a doubt. Like, I know it's only a 3.5 game lead over Atlanta, but it's a 6-game lead in the loss column. They're the only team in the NL East with a positive run differential. I'm finding myself growing higher and higher on this Mets team as the season is continuing.
Meet the Mets, greet the Mets. It's going to be hard to beat the Mets down the stretch. Rightfully so, Kevin. If you're winning games right now with a 1-8, which for it looks like a few weeks was a single A ball club that you had with you, along with some decent pitching, and now you're going to start to get healthy as the summer progresses, as you head into the fall. We hope that's going to be the case for the Mets if you are betting them and backing them. But incredible performance by the Mets. Look, Stroman's been great the past, half dozen starts. DeGrom is maybe the single best pitching performance that we've ever seen in baseball. It seems like it continues to top himself each and every year. Taijuan Walker, the off-season addition for the Mets, frontline starting pitching, it's all been wonderful. Now you just need to get that lineup intact, because before the season started, Kevin, I liked the Mets to win the NL East because I thought they had the strongest lineup overall in the NL East. Now the case is they're winning without even having a strong lineup. Watch out for the Mets. Huge series win. Impressive stuff.
Yeah, you know, right now their odds to win the division, not really a bettable number at minus 250. We have talked, though, about the fact that you can parlay division winners within the same leagues. You know, I know it's early. I feel like I have to check myself a little bit here because there's so much baseball to be played. But the Mets just keep putting impressive results together. It's also worth, again, just kind of bringing up the Jacob deGrom stuff. Like, he is now 7-1 to win the NL MVP. This was a number that we, you know, did talk about before the season started here on the early line at 50-1. The thing is, Donnie, it's the interesting thing about deGrom is we all know how excellent he is, but there are people that fundamentally disagree that based on the position he plays, he should really even be on the board for this award. Where do you land on that with DeGrom and his candidacy?
I'm usually old school in that way. You have your own separate award. The MVP is for a positional player. Well, he only plays every 5 days. I understand that. But when you do things of epic proportions and all-time scenarios, let's just say Jacob deGrom stays on the same trajectory playing, Kevin, that he's on right now. He finishes with an ERA of under one. Let's just say it's a 0.81. You can't give the MVP to another player because it's clear that when you're doing something historic, and baseball has been around for 150-plus years, to do it the best, and nobody's ever touched that. And we're also talking about MVP races here where you might be looking at Tatis or Acuna. Maybe you say, well, it's okay, they hit 30 home runs and did this. You need epic numbers. Now, let's just say Tatis hits 56 home runs. Well, then it's going to be tough for me to give. But if Jacob deGrom finishes with an ERA, Kevin, of under one, he's got to be the MVP. It has to happen.
Yeah, and again, they're starting to put some of those, you know, big shiny wins in the back pocket, which everybody cares so much about. He's also batting like 400. Like, yeah, I don't know. It feels like it's not his to lose, but it feels like he's going to be in the race all season long. How about the San Francisco Giants, Donnie? You know, this is going to be something that we're going to, I feel like, be doing all the way up until the trade deadline when they either decide if they maybe want to cash in on some overperforming players or hold steady and maybe buy and push on through. They bring the Chicago Cubs into their home ballpark for a four-game set. The hottest team probably in baseball coming in. They take 3 out of 4. They maintain their lead in the NL West. They maintain their status as the best record in Major League Baseball. I know that it's very, very unlikely that they keep this going. But, boy, I mean, they're still 12-1 to win the NL West. Like, that is still a staggering price to me, Donnie.
It was 18-1 just maybe a week ago that we were talking about the same price, because we're no longer looking at the Major League Baseball season, Kevin, as, it's fairly early in the season. Throughout the whole season, if you take it under just, you know, one look, they got a couple months to go. But this looks like it has the makings of a pretty good fundamental baseball team. And I say that with a little bit of salt in the wounds, because the Philadelphia Phillies under Gabe Kapler, I couldn't stand and couldn't wait for him to get out of town. But now he goes to a less talented team in San Francisco, and he's managing them, it seeming like, perfectly, getting the most out of his players, which is something we're not getting out of Joe Girardi here in Philadelphia. But the San Francisco Giants, how long do we wait, Kevin? It's June 7th. Is it maybe we revisit this at June 24th and say, well, are they still hanging around first place or, you know, within striking distance of first place? It's getting towards summertime here, and we're still waiting for the bottom to fall out on the Giants. Maybe they're just a good baseball team.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting, too, but, like, behind them are the two best teams in the National League. Like, if the Giants were in the Central or the East, I think we'd all have a lot easier time buying in on this. The interesting, too, is, and we'll bring now the Dodgers-Braves series into the fold, It doesn't feel like the Dodgers are playing their best baseball, despite the fact that they have got the best run differential in the National League. The Dodgers, they dropped two games in a row to Atlanta after taking that first game. Like, they're not dazzling in any stretch. They've had two runs of baseball where they seemingly looked unbeatable. You just keep betting the run line, keep betting the run line, keep cashing tickets. They're bang 15-15 on the road this season. Like, I know the Dodgers are great, Donnie. That's very, very obvious. But I just don't know if they are, you know, they're the -210 favorites to win the NL West, the, you know, +165 number on them to win the National League. Like, I'm not sure if they're that much better than everybody else.
It seems like they're in that little, hey, we can always flip the switch and turn it on when we need to. You know, laying back in the cut during the season. We know how talented we are. Did you see last year, guys? Yeah, we put the ring on our finger, and we expect to do it again. Not a lot of sense of urgency, which is interesting because sometimes you might get that, Kevin, in a, you know, lackadaisical division. But they're in a division with San Francisco's good. The Padres are really good. You can't afford to just say, hey, well, maybe in the middle of the summer when we're still in the neck and neck of this that we need to turn it on and get that gas going. The offense looks like it's going to come to fruition because the offense now, 1-8, is healthy and intact. You don't have any major discrepancies up there in your top pitching rotation as the summer adds on. And yes, the same thing I talk about, Kevin, with the New York Yankees really pertains to the Dodgers as well. If they need the best bat in baseball, if they want to pick up another really good pitcher, they have the prospects and the deep pockets to do it. But you are correct here. It seems like they're just relaxing right now before, hey, we're going to get there. Don't worry about it. We'll turn it on at any time. We'll see how that plays out over the summer. But again, back to the NL West, it's a really good baseball division. Dodgers can't take this one for granted.
You know, this is the interesting thing, too, to, you know, with the team the Dodgers just lost to, an NLCS rematch against an Atlanta Braves team that everybody was anticipating would be in the playoffs. This is where the Giants are really upsetting the apple cart. Even if they lose grip of the lead in the NL West, like right now the two wild card teams are the Padres and the Dodgers. Like, I know the season doesn't end today. I know that it would be a massive upset if the Giants won the NL West, but still, that's who, you know, your Atlantas or your Cardinals of the world would need to chase down if they can't get to the top of their division. And again, the Giants have built themselves a little bit of a healthy lead. Very odd, a Major League Baseball board today. Three games deep. The anti-in-play sports tonight schedule. 1-5-11 start, and then a couple of 9-40s. And, I mean, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know how they ended up. One of these is a makeup, too. How they were trotting out a two-game slate today. Like, is there an NFL game on that I didn't know about? A college football game? That's Major League Baseball. We'll come right back, take it or leave it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Kevin Walsh, Donnie Rideside, back right here live on Sports Grid. It's take it or leave it time. A lot of good stuff to get to. We'll start in the NBA with a series price, and that's the Brooklyn Nets right now to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. The number is -225. It is shifting down a little bit, though, again, with all this James Harden news. Donnie, take it or leave it. The Brooklyn Nets at about -225 to win that series against the Milwaukee Bucks without James Harden.
I love this. I love this topic right now. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm taking this right now. Now, the good part is it's only after one game. We saw the Nets prevail at home. They shot the lights out. Everybody had a good time in Brooklyn, and they won this game. But it's great that we're not asking this question. Oh, what? Kevin, I need another game. I need to see after, maybe after game four, I'll be able. No, no, no. We're on the hot seat right now to make this decision. From what I saw, you still have the big two. We're not talking, Kevin, win the NBA championship. We're talking about, look, here's what needs to be done in this series. We're up 1-0 still with the game on our home court, and we're favored to win that game. I'm taking it right now. The Brooklyn Nets are still going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. What are you thinking here, Kev?
Leave it, leave it, leave it. I feel oddly confident that Milwaukee is still going to win this series. I've talked about, you know, whether it's the big three or the big two, I felt like Milwaukee could win this series. I could only be buoyed by the idea that now Harden will not be available for them. I am possibly going to have nightmares and regrets if Mike Budenholzer continues to treat this like just a regular season matchup. But Giannis got his. Middleton, horrendous. Drew Holiday, not efficient. And here's the one thing, Donnie. Now, look, this isn't Groundhog Day, I know, but game one against Miami, they shot 5 for 31 from beyond the arc. Game one against Brooklyn, they shot 6 for 30 from beyond the arc. In game two against Miami, they made about 20 threes. It was unbelievable. I think they're still making threes from that game. I think it's for like 40 points in the first quarter. I feel like game number two is theirs for the taking. And the great thing about the why you asked this question, to Donnie's point, is I can't say, ask me after game two. No, because if the Brooklyn Nets win game two, which again we'll talk about, then you're probably, oh yeah, this is Brooklyn series. And if Milwaukee does win game number two, well then all of a sudden they'll be in the driver's seat, home court advantage, going back to Milwaukee. I'm leaving it. Donnie's taking it. I think it's very interesting stuff. Excited to get into the specifics, though, once again, about game number two in our next segment. A couple more here for you. Take it or leave it. NFL style. Some interesting news with the New England Patriots. Cam Newton injuring his hand during OTAs. And there are odds for the starting week one quarterback for the New England Patriots on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Cam Newton, a minus 185 favorite. Mac Jones, plus 170. If you'd like to bet Jared Stidham at plus 950, go for it. The more, the merrier. Donnie, take it or leave it. Minus 185, Cam Newton, the week one starter for the New England Patriots.
Do I think he should be the starter? Probably not. But we are betting people. You're looking at the odds, minus 185. I'm absolutely taking this. There is no way that Mac Jones is going to be the starter opening day for the Patriots. As I said again, even though I think that's the best course of action, if you want to get your future quarterback under center right away, and this team is rebuilt this year, getting a lot of guys back from the COVID list last year that opted out, made some nice splashes in free agency, which is very anti-Belichick. So this team, if you were to put a rookie quarterback in, probably will be able to handle it. A wonderful offensive coordinator, the best coach of all time in Bill Belichick. But it just seems to me, looking at everything down the line, they love Cam Newton in New England, and I don't think Bill Belichick is going to disrespect Cam Newton by bringing him back and saying, well, you're not going to lose out to Aaron Rodgers. You're going to lose out to Mac Jones, a rookie here. Game one starter will be Cam Newton. I'll take it at the 185. Kevin, your thoughts? You're up in New England.
Yeah, no, I would take it as well. In fact, I actually don't think the minus 185 price is bad. Comparatively, correct. Jimmy Garoppolo's minus 320. I think Trey Lance is more of a threat than Mac Jones. Jameis Winston's minus 280. I think Taysom Hill's more of a threat than Mac Jones.
Yep.
So not only would I say take it, but I actually think this is a bettable number. Like, Donnie, I have more confidence that Cam is the starter week one, I feel like, over Garoppolo or Jameis Winston, no?
I feel like Garoppolo, I think, is pretty much a shoe in there. But I think you're correct by bringing up that New Orleans Saints, because you never know what's going to take place there and how much Sean Payton, you know, works it around. But also keep this in mind, Kevin. It says game one starter. I wonder if this means, what happens if you come in with a package and Taysom Hill starts, you know, for the first snap in the game? Goodness, does that mean he was the week one starter? Or is it just announced lineup? So a lot to get into, but you are correct in this aspect. I think it's pretty good price here for Cam Newton, even though it is still 185.
I would say, I guess, the caveat is if he got hurt, which is obviously what brought up this conversation, true. But that's a very difficult thing to predict, right? Like, I think, you know, if you're just out here going to swing on plus money because you're like, all these guys could get hurt, that would be understandable. I'll also just quickly bring up the Broncos are in this market. Drew Locke's plus 145, as is Teddy Bridgewater. Any other, Aaron Rodgers, is plus 220. And then Brett Rypien is 16-1. I don't know. I feel like it should be Drew Locke. I'm not in on Teddy Bridgewater being this team's quarterback. I find that to be a complete waste of time. But also, that any other disguise that is Aaron Rodgers' his name is plus 220. I don't know how to make heads or tails of this Broncos market, Donnie.
I love it. I think it's so funny, too, because you're right. They have the only one that's like the other, which we know who the other is. It should have just put the initials AR next to it. But looking at Vic Fangio and what he likes to do, he's usually a conservative coach here, Kevin. I'm going to give the nod to Bridgewater getting the start. He's a veteran. We'll see how it goes. And, you know, Drew Lock sort of played his way out of a starting job. He's the more talented quarterback, absolutely, with the more upside, and can probably hit some of those throws with that elite wide receiving core that we're anticipating with Denver. But it is an interesting instance to see the other guy try to come in there and see if he can sweep it up, which all we know is Aaron Rodgers.
There should be like a wink fail, like any other. Just put Aaron Rodgers' name in there. Can I get the Packers odds for starting week one quarterback, please? I want the Jordan Love number. Would it be like any other minus 950 Jordan Love?
Not going to be Kaiser. No, it's not going to happen.
I want the odds for MVP to clearly be like, oh, that's Aaron Rodgers, but it just says any other, and it's 4-1. Yeah. That'd be tremendous. How about another, Julio Jones question here? After adding Julio Jones, the Tennessee Titans are the best team in the AFC South. That plus 110 price on them to win the AFC South is the same number that it is on the Indianapolis Colts. So, Donnie, take it or leave it. Titans to win the South at plus 110 after adding Julio Jones.
Phenomenal question now that Julio Jones has been added here, because looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook, at least up to last night, it was plus 110 and plus 110. You know the other plus 110 is? Carson Wentz and those Indianapolis Colts. I still think the Colts overall here, Kevin, are the better team. Does Tennessee get some help with Julio Jones? Absolutely. Do they have a pedigree of all systems going offense for the Titans? Yes, they do. But to me, looking at Carson Wentz going back with Frank Reich here with a very good offensive line, running game, receivers, weapons, and a decent defense, I still think the Colts are the team to beat. So as the headline would say, take it or leave it. I'm going to leave it on the table. It's that close to me, Kevin. How about you?
If I say I'm leaving it, am I then locked into a Colts bet? Leave it in that, I'm not betting this Titans number right now at plus 110. That was one of the things. I'll tell you this, though. I am surprised, Donnie, that the Titans are the same price as the Colts to win the South and are below the Colts in both odds for the Super Bowl and odds to win the AFC. There is a gap there. And the gap, by the way, was even, wider, obviously, before the Julio news. They were 35-1 to win the NFL Super Bowl, actually. And then the AFC number, I think, was 18-1. So there is a gap between those squads there. I think it's incredibly interesting. I'll leave it. But I'm not necessarily taking anything right now in the AFC South. I think we have time to let that develop. I wanted to bring up, though, Donnie, the idea that there are some other teams that were linked to Julio that didn't pull the trigger here. Because you and I have not really discussed the actual package that was sent to Atlanta. I mean, it's headlined by a second-round pick. Do you feel like there's a bunch of organizations and fan bases right now that should be scratching their head as to why Julio Jones isn't being announced as joining their club?
It had a lot to do with the salary cap, and it was a tough year. It was really hard for Julio Jones, which, again, the Tennessee Titans benefited from, because typically maybe if this is next year's move, maybe Atlanta's not even making the move because the salary cap goes up exponentially. But when you take a look at a season here where he fits perfect, I thought Tennessee was the right move. But, yes, other teams that were linked, the Philadelphia Eagles seemingly always linked. The Baltimore Raven one was an interesting one, and I always take a look. If you're Julio Jones, your number one wide receiver, don't you want to go to an elite passing attack? I know Lamar Jackson is electric, but there's nothing worse than a wide receiver running a nine route, which is way down the field, or a post route, and the ball just doesn't get to you and have three or four steps on the defender. I always thought it was also interesting if we took a look at the New England Patriots, Kevin, to try to get Julio Jones. Look, I know he's boys with Cam Newton, but we all saw Cam Newton and what Cam Newton probably is going to project to the future with passing. It doesn't look all that great out here. Then taking a look at some of the teams out west, you saw Kyle Shanahan say, hey, if we couldn't get him, thank goodness he's going out to the AFC. That would have been an interesting prospect. But also the Rams, somehow always over the cap, looking to add big-name guys. It seemed like it was a perfect fit to me, Kevin, for everybody getting a second-round pick and going to the Tennessee Titans.
I think the team that I look at the most is the Baltimore Ravens. I just feel like you got to get an elite talent there for Lamar, but I know it's run first. It's interesting stuff. We'll come right back. Let's break down tonight's NBA board.
Expert perspectives and
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to the Early Line Live right here on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. An opportunity now to break into a two-game slate of NBA action, postseason action here. Nets, Bucks, Suns, Nuggets. Let's start actually with the late game here and the Suns and the Nuggets, because we've talked a little Nets, Bucks, in some capacity. So let's bring Phoenix and Denver into the fold here, Donnie. And let's just start with a series price. Phoenix is -205. You've got a +172 number there on Denver. Chris Paul, I think we're assuming health. Jokic and the Nuggets surprising people, you know, a little bit there by beating that Portland team here. Obviously, Phoenix being able to get past the Lakers was big, even if they absolutely weren't going to do so until Anthony Davis was injured. A very interesting matchup here, where it's the 2 seed versus the 3 seed, yet if it was the 6 versus the 7, people would have felt like that would have made some sense here. Very interesting matchup, Donnie.
No, it is an interesting matchup, and we'll see how Phoenix handles this, because, again, not winning a playoff series since 2010, finally knocking off the defending champions, the Lakers and LeBron James. How do they handle this moving forward? Well, it's nice to have Chris Paul on your team, you know, a grizzled veteran. It's like, hey, look, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're trying to win a championship here. The goal was not to beat the Lakers and ride off into the sunset. You're still going to have a hard-fought victory against against the Denver Nuggets. But look at the series price here. -205, as you said, on the FanDuel Sportsbook for Phoenix, +172 for the Nuggets. I think you get a pretty good effort tonight out of Phoenix. If I were betting the series and say, you know what, I'm really not, you know, secure on the price at +172. If Phoenix gets a victory tonight, that's going to increase to well over 2-1, and that's where I would jump in, almost in that zigzag theory of the NBA. Win here, lose here, because I think that's the best price. If you get a split here in the first two games out of the Nuggets, Kevin, they are going to be live, as we like to say, going back to elevation. Looking at the series beforehand, I do think Phoenix is the more talented team, and the cream usually rises to the top in a 7-game series, barring injury. But if I'm betting the Denver Nuggets and I want them for the series price, I'm probably going to wait till after game one, because I think Phoenix can win this first game and give me a much, much better price down the stretch.
You know, it's very interesting, because you always want to try to look towards the regular season and see what you can take from it. All three meetings happened before February. One of them was very, very early into the season. It was a Phoenix Suns victory. The next two were back-to-backs, not like two games in the three, back-to-backs in Phoenix. Both went to overtime. Both of them won by Denver. One of them Devin Booker was out for. All of them Jamal Murray played in. None of them Aaron Gordon was on the team for. Like, it's a little difficult to lean too much onto, in my opinion at least, Donnie, what the regular season offered. I think you're better off, in a way, trying to focus maybe on just the recent performances from these teams. The difficult thing for me, and it's, look, you hate to discredit teams, but I don't think I'm wrong in saying that the Suns were going home had Anthony Davis not gotten injured. That just felt like the reality. And Portland, for all the firepower that they came with, all of the issues that we had talked about that team having during the season came to fruition during the series. Their defense was a disgrace, 29th in the league in defensive rating. Only the Sacramento Kings were worse. Pelicans, Cavs, Magic, Thunder, all of them better defenses than a Blazers team that was supposed to go out there and make a push to the conference finals. So, I'm as impressed as you can be with teams advancing to the next round, but I'm not, you know, blown away. The one thing is, I felt, Donnie, as if Phoenix That Game 5 performance, that crowd, that atmosphere was so electric. I feel like they would be leaning on to that once again, and I feel like having home court. I'm not looking to get involved here on a series price just yet. I'm excited to get a couple of games under the belt. The one thing that I am interested in from a side perspective is perhaps Phoenix early laying a point and a half. The way they jumped all over the Los Angeles Lakers in both games 5 and 6, I'm interested in the Suns early, maybe laying a point and a half, Donnie, in that first quarter.
That makes sense. It certainly does. And how about like going back to that last series where the Lakers did square it up against the Suns? How interesting was it where the first injury you saw was Chris Paul down? Like, he's not going to play the rest of the series. Here we go. The Lakers are going to advance. They always get lucky. And then that turns into Chris Paul being healthy again and AD going down. So a wild roller coaster series injury-wise and emotions-wise and which way you're going to look to bet. But I look for Phoenix. The longer they go, the better they get, because Chris Paul's shoulder, maybe it won't be 100% till the offseason, but it's seemingly getting better each game with his performances, his willingness to shoot the three, take it to the rack. You could just see he's getting more comfortable as it goes. Trying to read a line here for the game tonight. -5 is a pretty strong number here for the Phoenix Suns. I do expect the Phoenix Suns to win this game, but from a value perspective, if I still like Denver, I'm actually rooting on Denver losing tonight, then taking Denver for the series. Maybe they can get a split in Phoenix, which they'll probably have to do, take it back, and maybe take a 2-1 series lead once you get to Denver. Then you can start looking at the opposite side here, having some fun, seeing if you can take down automatic plus money for the rest of the series. That's my approach to betting this upcoming games between the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns. Should be a great series. Tips off tonight at 10:10. We'll be ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll also just mention with the props here, the Devin Booker number is 28.5. Again, the momentum that he carries over from that Lakers series, does that stick with him? And the Jokic number to 30.5, like, he went over this number in 5 of the 6 games against Portland. Again, the Suns were without an answer when Anthony Davis was actually out there on the floor. It's hard to think that Jokic goes under that number, 30.5 points, Donnie.
He's always going to be the focal point. He's always going to be involved with it. Maybe you say, well, now Ayton's going to be in there down low to try to, you know, mess around with him and defend him. It almost seems like it doesn't matter who you put on in Nikola Jokic. He's going to dominate. You put guys that are up for Defensive Player of the Year, and he schools them and drops routinely 30 to 40 points. I don't see it anything different here, because they win when he plays extremely well. And it seems like, Kevin, he always plays extremely well. Not doubting Jokic at all.
Yeah. And the other number I am fascinated by is Chris Paul and that points prop there of 13.5. How much is that number adjusted for some level of injury? Even his assist prop is 8.5 there. Like, I think Chris Paul points plus assists is a number that very well could pay off in the long term here, trying to, again, target something early. The number's 22.5, even money to the over. I know we said we can't lean too much on the regular season, but he did smash this number in the regular season. He had 21-6 the first time that they played that Denver squad, then went out there 11-15 and then 21-13. And a healthy Chris Paul averaged 16.5 points and 9 assists during the regular season. With a little time off, Donnie, could I get you to the window on Chris Paul points plus assists at 21.5?
Yes, I do think it's credible here, because you saw him come back in that series and only has an extra couple days off to improve that shoulder. He's a big-time player in the playoffs as long as he's out on the court, and it seems like, as I said, he's getting healthier and healthier as we move forward. The key to this series, to me, is going to be Chris Paul. If he plays extremely well, Phoenix is going to be a tough out. And I think sometimes we look at this Phoenix team, Kevin, and feel like they're a 6 seed, a 7 seed, an 8 seed. They're a higher seed here than the Denver Nuggets. They're supposed to win this series. They're a really good basketball team. If Chris Paul is healthy and getting healthier by the day, they're going to be a tough takedown in the series for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun one, no doubt. All right, let's do a little Nets-Bucks here. Let's break right into this game. It's a 1.5-point spread, -116 money line there for the Nets. I'm very interested in the total at 234.5, but Donnie, let me ask you first on the side here. You know, maybe I'm trying to, you know, you always talk about it's a Brooklyn line, Milwaukee line. Does that not seem like a Milwaukee line at 1.5 points? Absolutely. Or maybe no?
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. But, it, you know, I like the fact when we do In-Play Sports Tonight, Dave Sharapan comes on and explains over the counter what we're looking at here. Because you also have to remember, the public's going to see something as well. Well, wait a second. Harden's not even playing this whole game. They'll be able to recorrect, and I think Milwaukee can win this game. That's what you're saying. But absolutely, just to start the conversation out here, looking at this number, Brooklyn -1.5 at home, even though they already won without Harden the entire game, we're expecting a comeback here for the Milwaukee Bucks. And I don't think we expected a 4 or a gentleman sweep 5 in this series. It's going 6 or 7, Kevin, which means what? Milwaukee's going to win a few games here. This is a game where you look at it for Milwaukee. They need to win this. Look, you still go, hey, the series doesn't start till a team loses on its home court. I understand that. But you don't want to start series down 0-2 and then have to put the pressure on yourself in your own building. You need to steal this win. It feels like an all-in type of atmosphere for the Bucks, because also, where's your psyche at, Kevin? Wait a second here. If the big three played together, we would have got killed in this. We're down 0-2 heading home, and Harden played 1 minute? That would be devastating for the Bucks.
Yeah, I absolutely think, again, need, just because they can go back home, but all of a sudden then you enter do or die mode. You have to then win both of games 3 yes. and 4 on your home floor. It becomes a much different atmosphere, 100%. But I really do like the Bucks in this game. I talked about the positive shooting regression coming to their side. I anticipate that being the case here. And look, it's very difficult because you don't want to stubbornly just keep running into a wall that you know is there with Budenholzer. But, like, he can't keep doing this, right? Like, he can't play Giannis 35 minutes. Kyrie Irving played 45 minutes in game one. Kevin Durant played 40 minutes. Like, the adjustment that Steve Nash made to Harden being injured was, oh, good thing I have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. You'll play all of the minutes. And Budenholzer was like, boy, those guys are out there a lot, huh? Must be tired. No! Like, this is what they're gearing up for. Sidebar, this is the value for Philly, that these two teams might murder one another here in this series and play all of the minutes. That's that Sixers value if they figure themselves out against Atlanta. But, like, Donnie, there is really no reason to me outside of Durant and Kyrie going absolutely berserk in this game. And one of those games where you go, nobody was beating them. And they do have that ability, but so does Milwaukee. Milwaukee scored more points per game than the Brooklyn Nets.
And it seemed like a free-flowing game last game where, look, you just have to shoot better if you're from a Milwaukee Bucks perspective. The over-under, I believe, in game one, Kevin, 239.5 in that range, now down to 234.5, so a drop. And, of course, that's a direct derivative from James Harden not playing in this game tonight. But I look for a free-flowing effort. If we're looking from a side perspective, I still do think the Brooklyn Nets can win this game, even though I see a Milwaukee Bucks line. Yeah. But 234.5, is it going to slow down? Did I miss something?
Yeah, I think the over is a great play. I really, really do. Because that is just too much of a drop for me from that first game, especially when you consider how poor some of the shooting numbers were there. I think it's a really nice number. Also, kind of that Jokic-Lillard special, Giannis and Durant parlayed to each get to 30 points is +110. I'm pretty sure. I think they'll both get to 30 points. We've seen them do it pretty consistently. All right, let's take a break. Come back. We'll finish up this edition of the Early Line.
Some artists.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's close this thing out. Another fun edition of the Early Line. We ended in foul territory. A lot of options we can, you know, kind of give Major League Baseball another leaning into for everything that they do wrong. Also, Floyd versus Logan Paul. Oh, my gosh. Donnie, I'll let you take the baton here, wherever you want to go, because there's a lot of stuff from the sports world that are giving my head a spin.
Yeah, draft is usually, I believe, the first Monday in June every year, so they limit the amount of games, which is absurd in itself because the simple fact is the managers and the players and the bench coaches, first base, third base, hitting coach, they're not involved in the draft whatsoever. So the fact that you put two games, which turned into three with a makeup game today, is crazy enough to say, well, hey, it's the draft. So basically, as Kevin and I were talking over the break, the draft doesn't matter to the four teams that were supposed to play today, but seemingly matter to everybody else. And yes, the Paul fight versus Mayweather. It's amazing where boxing is at right now because we would rather watch a YouTube star fight a 44-year-old Mayweather than maybe the biggest boxing matchups that we have on the card today. Get your stuff together, boxing, because this shouldn't even be taking place if you hold up your own set of the cards and let us enjoy good boxing matches instead of some of these farces, Kevin. I'm all over the place in foul territory, Kevin. It's like, I'm out there playing for the Oakland Athletics. Way too much foul territory for me on Monday.
No, yeah, it's a very, very good call there. For those that respect a good ballpark there. That's not bad. Look, as far as the baseball thing goes, if it's like, oh, it's a small slate because of draft day, it's all or nothing then. What, the Padres and the Cubs aren't drafting? They have no picks? This is not hard. Figure this out. Or just make everybody play day games or something. That way they can all get ready for the draft. It's just nonsense. As far as Floyd versus Mayweather versus Paul, look, I don't know. I watched the thing. Why not? It seemed like all anybody could say is, why are we actually watching this? I think Floyd not knocking him out, though, I feel like a lot of it was like, oh, that really was a waste of time. Maybe it's actually done. Tyrone Woodley put the nail in the coffin, knock out Jake, and end this disaster. We'll see you tomorrow on the early line.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast? You end up waiting. A lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.